Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today is the first podcast in a three-podcast series where we're really going to talk about memories and things that you want to save and looking at different objects from a different lens and a different point of view. So when you think about the storage room and you think about the things that you are saving, there are things in there that you are saving for your children. There are things in there that you are saving for someone who has passed away, maybe a parent, maybe a spouse. And then there are things that you are saving in there for yourself. And really, your whole house is like this box of things you're putting in that you are saving for yourself, either now or in the future. So we're going to start by talking about our kids, what we save for our kids, how we save it, and maybe some different ideas about what we're saving for our kids. Now, for years, I looked at the stuff that I had and I would organize it. And when I was organizing it, really, I was buying cuter containers, creating systems, but I wasn't really purging. I wasn't really getting rid of anything. I was just making everything look better, but I was saving it all. And once I had kids, I realized that I couldn't keep saving everything for me and them. We would quickly outgrow this house. And even though we bought this house before we had kids, I bought it as our one and only house. Like, I really took a lot of time and figured out what I wanted in a house. And when we found this one, it was just perfect. And in my mind, we may never move from this house. Our kids are now in middle school and high school. I firmly plan on being here through their college years. And then who knows what we will do. But I don't ever imagine moving to a larger house. This house is plenty big for us. And now that I've really been organizing and purging things and thinking about what I like, want, and need more, we actually have a lot of empty cabinets in this house and empty closets and a lot of extra space, which is really weird and really fun. So I remember a long time ago, I used to listen to this podcast. It's great. I don't know if they still record it, but it's called Clutter Interrupted. And it's a professional organizer and her really good friend who's a professional organizer wannabe. Like, she wants to be organized. And the professional organizer was always, they were tackling different areas of the house. And it was an interview show. It was really, really good if you want to look it up. But one of the things that they would often say is that clutter is delayed decision making. And I find myself saying that to my clients all the time. And I know that's where I very first heard it from. And when you get to your storage room and you think about memories, for sure, that is where people who have their whole house organized still do not feel organized because they are delaying making decisions and they end up with clutter. Now, I'm going to give a caveat. I didn't have this in the blog post, but I want to make sure to mention it on the podcast. I've mentioned before that it seems to take about 5 years to get through certain stages in life. So 5 years, like the day after my mother-in-law had had her stroke, 5 years later, all of a sudden it's like a light switch went on in her brain and she could remember and do things she hadn't been able to do for 5 years. After my father passed away, 5 years later, it just seemed like different things in the family were clicking again. And everyone had kind of processed the change of losing my father in the family and all the different relationships that he had. 5 years seems to be the amount of time it takes to really process through things. So I'm going to give you some hard and fast rules about how to get rid of stuff. But I want you to hear me first. If you are going through a tragedy, or you've just lost a spouse, or your children have just gone away to college, or moved out of the country, or some big event is going on, don't just say, well, Lisa said, get rid of it all, get rid of all. No, I'm talking about when it's been 5 years, you're ready to tackle this clutter. That's when I want you to implement these strategies. Okay, so we're going to look at your kids' stuff today. Whether your kids are 2 years old, 22 years old, 42 years old, 62 years old, it doesn't matter. I want you to be thinking about your kids. And we're going to look at the stuff that you have that is theirs in your possession from three different perspectives. One is what they want to keep. The other is what you want to keep. And then the third is, when do you each want this stuff? So what do they want? I know I've mentioned before on the podcast that I had to come to grips with the fact that we were not going to keep all of the stuffed animals that came into our house. For some reason, they're stuffed animals. Once they get in here, it's like almost impossible to get them out. I would try everything I could to have people not give my kids stuffed animals, because once they got in here, what I found was it was harder for me to get rid of them than my kids. And at one point, we had a lot of them, but I remember the kids were like 3 and 4. It could have been only 2 and 3. I put all of the stuffed animals in the loft. There were over 100. And I divided them out by type. You know, all the Clifford the dogs were together. All the bears were together. All the frogs were together. And I said to the kids, you know, we need to give some of these to other people. Which ones can we get rid of? And they were giving me lots of animals. And I would say, well, could you give me 2 more? And pushing them to the point where they'd given up everything they wanted to give up. And everything that was left, they really, really wanted. But some of the stuffed animals they gave up, I tried to convince them to keep. Why do you want to give up Clifford the Big Red Dog? You got that when Abby was born, you know? And he looks at me and he's got 4 other Clifford the Big Red Dogs that he didn't want to give up, you know? And I've guilted this child into keeping a 5th Clifford the Big Red Dog. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I keep doing this, we're going to outgrow this house before the kids go to kindergarten. Like, this is not going to work. So from that day forward, whenever the kids were ready to get rid of anything, I let them. Unless it was super, super sentimental, like from their birth mother or something like that, then I did store it in the basement. But I could think of only maybe 3 experiences where the kids were ready to give up something, and I actually kept it for them, thinking that, you know what, in the future, they might really want this object. So I want to give you a perspective shift. Maybe you're listening to this and you're 28 or you're 38 or you're 48 or you're 68. And I want you to imagine that your mother has just shown up to your house and she is going to give you every single school paper you have ever written on and every stuffed animal you ever had and all of the clothes you wore for the first 3 years of your life and every toy you touched before the age of 12. Are you overwhelmed? Like, okay, I know. First, you're like, oh, that'd be really cool. Like, I'd love to see what I played with when I was 10. Or I was always wondering how I did on spelling or whatever. You know, like, there is a little piece of us that would be like, oh, that'd be really cool to see all my history. But after you get over that blip of that would be really cool, can you really imagine the U-Haul showing up with all this stuff? And then you've got to process it. And what are you going to do with it, right? Like, you really don't want all of those things from your childhood. So let's think about what your kids really want. When they're ready to get rid of things, go ahead and let them get rid of things. They are going through the normal purging, saving process. And even though you want to save everything they've done under your roof because it's a memory and something you cherish and want to remember, they are processing through life. Like, you wouldn't save every single thing you bought from the time you were 20 to 50, right? So why should you save every single thing that you have from the time you were 5 to 18? You shouldn't. And each child will have a different way that they want to process through things. Like, my daughter will easily get rid of things after a couple of months. They never go into storage. Like, once she's done with them, they're done with them. Send them off to the Goodwill. But my son, when he wants to get rid of things, he'll have a certain amount that he gets rid of just like that. Like, okay, donate that. But then he'll have this other amount of stuff that he will not be ready to get rid of, but he no longer wants it in his room, which tells me it's on its way out, but he wants some more processing time. So I do box up those things and put them in the basement. And then when we go through his room in a deep clean, you know, a couple times a year, I'll remind him what's in the basement. Or I'll forget. And it's been a couple of years. Like, this year when we did the deep clean, I said, do you know that in the basement I have all these train tracks and I have all these cars and I have all these plastic tracks? And he was like, you still have all that? And I said, yeah. And so, like I told you, for a minute, he was nostalgic, just like you would be if your mom said they still had everything you had when you were a kid. For a minute, you're nostalgic. And then he said to me, I don't even know that's down there. Get rid of it and don't tell me. Like, if I start looking at all that, he said, I'm going to want to keep it. But if you just get rid of it, I won't even care. So think about that. Are you setting up your kids for success in the future by helping them process and get rid of things that they are done with now? Okay, so what do they want to keep? Do they want to keep every single trophy they've ever had? Or would they like you to take pictures of every single trophy they've ever had? And they have a stack of 40 pictures and actually keep their 2 first places. Help them with how to get rid of things that they want to get rid of, the physical object, but they don't want to get rid of the memory. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. All right, now the second thing, and I think this is way more important than what I find when I'm working with clients, is what do you want? You might want more of your childhood memories of your child than they do. You might want to keep their baby clothes. You might want to keep their baby toys. You might want to keep their American Girl dolls long after they're done with them. And there are a couple reasons for this. Number one, you spent the money. They didn't, right? I mean, it's a significant amount of cha-ching going out the door every time they're done with something that maybe you just bought a few months later. And you're like, are you kidding me? We're done with this already? But I think more to the point, and I know for me, the case is, man, I really enjoyed this stage of my child's life. I really enjoyed the Duplo blocks building stage. I really enjoyed this little table that the kids could barely stand at, and they had these chunky little blocks they played on and how they held their phone. And they only did that for maybe 8 months, and then they were done with it. Didn't matter how long I had it, they never played with it again. But I loved those memories of doing that with them and watching them learn to stand up and play with those toys. And seeing that toy in the storage room reminds me of all of those things. It's not going to remind your child of all those things. When they have their children, they're going to want their own toys. However, when they have their own children, do you want to still have that toy at your house so that when their babies are learning to stand up and you're watching them or they're over for Sunday dinner, you have that toy that they could play with at your house? In that case, have at it. Save as much as you want. However, think about how you were with your own children. Okay, I don't think this is going to shock anybody. I went shopping constantly. Like, I loved these babies so much. I'd waited for these babies so long that I was at the store all the time. And Joey liked to be out of the house. And I could stay at the house for days, but he wanted to be out. And he was perfectly happy sitting in a stroller going through Walmart. And I'm ashamed to admit, every day at 8:01, we were at Walmart. Because, you know, it was always the same temperature inside. And I knew what to wear. And we would go up and down the aisles. And I would get something every day, pretty much. It was definitely a much different time of life than I'm in now, but it was something that we did. And we had toys everywhere. And then I would go to garage sales and I would buy toys and then I would have garage sales and I would sell toys. And I was managing toy organization all over the house. And I loved it. I loved it. But when we have grandchildren, do you think I'm not going to go to a store? Like, I love shopping and finding that kind of stuff. And I know kids stay in those phases for only 3, 6, 9 months at a time, and they're on to the next kind of thing they want to play with. So I haven't saved anything. Maybe I should go check. There's a small bin, a small baby bin. Yeah, I think there are maybe 3 toys in there, but there's nothing in there because I realized that even though I loved playing with those toys with my kids and I could totally see myself playing with those toys with my grandchildren, I don't even know if I'll have grandchildren. You know, maybe my kids won't have kids, or maybe they'll have kids when they're 40, which is still another 25 years from now. Who knows what the toys will be like then, right? Or where I will live then. So I went ahead and I got rid of the toys. But if you want to keep them, save them for yourself. Now, let's say your kids are teenagers and you're processing through this and they're not very sentimental kids, but you're very sentimental. I want you to box things up based on who wants it. If your child wants all of their trophies, but they don't want them in their room and it is not something that you want, then I want you to box them up in a banker's box and label it Susie Q's trophies so that when you're in the storage room, you go, okay, those are Susie Q's. They're not for me. Or when you're boxing up baby clothes, you pick maybe 2 or 3 that you're saving for her to give her when she has her first child. So be like, hey, this is what you wore. Isn't this fun? We can remember. And you get rid of all of the rest. Or do the idea I'm going to tell you about later. So box things up, whether they're for you or for them. Now, the benefit to this is, depending on where you are in your phases of life, when you get about 55, 60, the kids are off to college, they've graduated from college. When the last kid goes to college, you look around your home and you go, yes! It's finally quiet and it's all mine. And wherever I put the scissors, they're going to stay there like for months at a time. Like when I go to find something, it's still going to be there. Yes. I mean, you love your kids and you want them to come back and everything. But there's a sense of, I haven't been there yet. I'm just imagining of like, if I turn a light off, it's going to stay off. If I buy yogurt and put it in the refrigerator, it's going to be there the next day. If I put my scissors down on the counter, they will still be there when I come back. Like you're getting your house back. And then you're going to look at all this stuff you're storing and you're going to be like, why do we have all of her trophies? Really? Does she really want her trophies? And you're going to get the urge to purge things that maybe you shouldn't purge because they're hers. That's when I recommend getting a storage locker and moving all those boxes into a storage locker. And if they're all already labeled, then they're out of your house. You can downsize, you can move, you can get a patio home, but your child also still has their memories and they're stored. All right, so we've covered what they want. We've covered what you want. And now I want to talk to you about, when do you each want it? Because not only are we delaying decision-making by putting a whole bunch of stuff in our storage room and not discerning how many of each we want, like putting all the clothes down there and not keeping the favorite outfits and putting all the toys down there, not keeping, you know, a dozen that you just want to keep yourself, and putting all the trophies down there, not discerning that only three or four we really want to keep and we want pictures of the rest. When we do that, we're delaying decision-making. But we feel guilty, like, oh, it's all down there, I need to organize it. Oh, it's all down there, I need to do something with it. Oh, you can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy your child's baby clothes in a box, knee deep, you know, 18 high in your storage room. Your child can't enjoy their trophies in a box somewhere. So they're not being enjoyed, which is why I love scrapbooks. Even though it takes so much time to figure out which pictures you want and to put them in a scrapbook, whether you do digital or picture ones, they're awesome. I cannot even tell you how many times my kids look at their scrapbooks. They look at them all the time. And the same thing with the school binders. You could save bin after bin after bin of kids' school papers, but who's looking at them and who's enjoying them and what good is that? But if you take the time with school papers, if you designate a Saturday and Sunday, you could get the project done. And you just go through, you're going to end up pitching 80 to 90% of them. It's really amazing how much you can get rid of. And then put what's left in a binder or two for each child. My kids look at their school binders. They love their school binders. They would have never gone in a storage room and gone through boxes of paper to find a handprint that they made of a turkey. You know what I'm saying? So I've talked about those two ideas so much. I want to talk to about a brand new idea and take you through this process of how I do photos, how I do scrapbooks. And today we're going to talk about baby clothes. So here's the process. Number one, you want to process through the piles. And number two, pick the best of what you want to keep. Then number three, you get to experience the memories again together. Number four, enjoy a new creation. And five, empty out your storage room without emptying out your heart. So like I told you, my babies were my life. I went from baby dolls to babysitting to wanting babies, but we couldn't get pregnant. And so we tried for babies for a while, and then we did the infertility, and we ended up being blessed with two adoptions. We picked up Joey on a work night. I think it was like a Thursday night or something. We went down, we got him at 4. We still went to Bible study that night, and we didn't get home till like 11 o'clock at night. I just remember Greg laying this little baby on our bed and just kneeling at the bed and looking at this baby while I ran around and did everything we needed in order to go to bed. Like, we got this baby basically in the middle of the night, and we didn't have very much. So I had to find a place for the baby to sleep. Luckily, we had a little bit of formula. And I don't know. I just had to get his little bed ready. We had this little tiny bassinet. That was it. And then I got ready for bed. And the next morning we got up and we had a doctor's appointment at 9 a.m. But at 8 a.m. before Greg went to work, we both drove to Walmart and we got him some clothes because he was really little and he needed the preemie size. Now, how I knew that Walmart had the best preemie selection before I even had kids should tell you how much I knew about these babies, these Invisos, as my parents used to call them. I used to talk about children so much that my father named them Inviso 1 and Inviso 2. And he would say, oh, how are the Invisos doing, Lisa? Because I didn't have babies, but I just talked about them all the time, okay? Baby nut. Love my kids, love babies. I don't have any of their baby clothes saved. So here's what I did. I realized that I was saving all of Joey's baby clothes, and 18 months later, we adopted his little sister. I wasn't sure if we were going to have any more babies, but it didn't make any sense to save all of the boy baby clothes and all of the girl baby clothes. What if the next one was a boy in a different season? Like, it was just, there were too many baby clothes. So what I decided to do for Joey's second birthday was take the baby clothes and take my favorites and cut them up and make like a patchwork type quilt. Now, I'm not a great sewer, but I had sewed some of those little baby sleepers for my kids and some bibs. And my mom is an excellent sewer, which was why I even thought I could do this. They weren't perfect, but they were fun. And I just loved doing it. I made little fleece pajamas for them. And I thought, okay, I'll take their clothes and I'll turn it into a baby blanket. Now, this was kind of easy for me to do because Joey had such bad acid reflux that most of his baby clothes were ruined. But I loved the baby clothes that he had. Like, I remember, oh, my grandmother is such a great shopper. So it was his great-grandmother, and she sent down like this layette of clothing. I say it's a layette because they were like gorgeous baby clothes. They were baby sleepers, plain baby sleepers, but she got them at department stores. Like, it's the kind of baby clothes you would have bought like in a time gone by. It was a layette of clothes she bought him. And it just was crazy that these would be totally gone. And they're just every little piece of clothing had a memory, including all these little baby clothes that Greg and I got the first day that we had him. So here's the process of how I got rid of the baby clothes. I decided that I would make a blanket. And all I had to do was make a little, I think it was a 3x3 square template out of cardboard. And I just started cutting all the baby clothes into 3x3 squares that I wanted to save. And then he really liked those little waffly blankets, you know, those blankets that are like, have that waffly texture. And so I cut those up into like 9x9 inch segments for the back. So the back was that. And he was 2 years old, so we're getting ready to move him out of the crib into a toddler bed. So I made this kind of like a little tiny quilt for his baby toddler bed. And I thought it would replace carrying around those little waffly blankets, but I didn't know. I didn't know how he would respond to this. But I knew I didn't want to save all these clothes. I knew I wanted to make a memory. I knew I wanted something that we could experience now and not a bunch of clothes in boxes. So I processed through all the piles, number one. And number two, I picked the best. I think I picked 14 outfits that I was like, okay, these are the ones I want to tell them about. These are the ones I want to save. Now, number three is experience the memories together. When I made the kids' school books, they got to experience the memories with me. I made the books, and then we sat down and went page by page, and I got to see their faces, hear their stories about these papers I didn't even know. And it was just a really great bonding experience. But with this baby blanket, it was Greg and I that got to experience the memories together. So he'd be at work, he'd come home, and at night, I would be cutting all these baby clothes apart, and I'd be like, oh, you remember this one that we got? And Greg would tell a story about something Joey did in that outfit. And, you know, we were able to experience the memories of those baby clothes, the memories of becoming parents for the first time, the memories of being parents of two babies. That's what we were experiencing, not the clothing. The clothing was just the conduit to the conversation, right? And then we enjoyed this new creation. So I made this new blanket and we gave it to Joey for his second birthday. And Greg and I loved it. And in my mind, I had no idea if Joey would like it or not, if he would want to keep it when he was older or not. I didn't know if he would be a sentimental kid or not. But I knew one thing. I wanted this blanket. Like, if he wants it, it's his. But if he doesn't want it, I would love it. And I would love to have a grandbaby someday sleeping underneath or on top of this little blanket at my house. So we gave him the blanket when he turned two, and he loved it. Like, he opened the present, he put it on the floor, and he bit it, and he laid on it, and he rolled around on it. I mean, he loved it, and he carried it around for years. Same thing when we gave Abby her blanket. Now, of course, she knew Joey had a big boy blanket. She kind of, even though she was only two, somehow she knew she was getting a big girl blanket. And when she got hers, she loved hers just as much, carried it just as much, probably for longer. And now they're both in the storage room. Those baby blankets are now in the storage room. They do come out on occasion. It's kind of funny. But the kids love those blankets. They have so much meaning for them. And of course, I made a scrapbook page about it. So if you go to the post that's in the podcast notes here and you click on seeing the post, you'll be able to see how the kids reacted to their blankets and what their blankets look like. And then in the scrapbook page, I numbered on the picture, like with a Sharpie, each of the squares, like the 12 different patterns. And then I wrote where those 12 baby clothes came from, who gave them to them and how they got them, so that that's preserved for them, the memory that goes along with the blanket. So number five is to empty out your storage room without emptying out your heart. So hopefully after you hear that story, you think, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. You have no baby clothes in your closet or your storage room. You just have these two great blankets and the scrapbook page is done. And It's awesome. It's awesome, right? And some of you are throwing the phone against the wall going, well, great, Lisa, you just added another 48-hour project to my list to make baby blankets out of kids' clothes. And I'm not saying you have to make baby blankets out of your kids' clothes. Please do not go on Pinterest and rabbit trail here. But I'm saying let's start thinking about, and I want to start posting even more blog posts about how can we take these memories and these experiences and continue to enjoy them and create new things that are out in the open that we see at a regular basis. Like my kids see those blankets. They see their school albums. They see their photo albums. None of these things are in boxes in my storage room. And so that's what's important is how can you be enjoying these memories today instead of feeling guilty about where they are tomorrow? And, you know, it's a worthwhile investment of time. Who's going to do it if you don't do it? What would you rather give them, a baby blanket or a whole box full of clothes? So the only baby clothes that I've kept are the little outfits that both kids came to us when we adopted them in. Other than their baby blanket, those are the only clothes that we've kept. And when they have kids, that's what we give them. I think I kept a toy or two for each of them in that box, but there's really very, very little in there. And their baby shoes, I think I have one set of baby shoes for each of them. And that's all I've kept. So we move through it. We enjoy the things that are there. And, you know, it's all about enjoying the memories, enjoying the process, enjoying the people. And how do you preserve those memories going forward? So I hope those are three things that you can now consider when you're saving your kids' memories. What do they want? What do you want? And when do you each want it? Now, next week, we're going to talk about saving your parents' memories and your spouse's memories. Have a great week.